T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Search is on for driver who dragged a sheriff deputy during a traffic stop. We've got the story.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. A Wichita man has died while trying to save a drowning woman from a southwest Missouri river.
Police investigating a deadly shooting in northeast Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Finally, the frontal boundary responsible for all the stormy weather over the past few days is moving out. How long will our quiet pattern last? We'll tell you in just a minute.
In St. Louis, a police officer is dead and a suspect is in custody after police received a call from a business saying the suspect was trying to cash a bad check. Officer Mike Lansdorf was shot upon arrival, according to North St. Louis County Police Cooperative Chief John Buchanan.
One of our officers responded to the 6200 block of Page, one of the businesses located at that location, for a bad check report. Approximately 5 minutes later, we receive a call for one of our officers down.
Langsdorf later died at a hospital.
Wichita police looking for a woman who injured a sheriff's deputy after evading a traffic stop. Police say Melissa Heinzman was stopped by a deputy for a routine stop westbound on 21st Street yesterday afternoon. Deputy discovered Heinzman had several arrest warrants and asked her to step out of the car. The suspect allegedly tried to drive away. Deputy tried to stop the woman but ended up attached to the vehicle in some capacity by the equipment with the officer and became stuck to the vehicle. Sheriff's deputy dragged about 100 feet before disengaging from the car. The deputy was hospitalized with serious injuries, and police are looking for that suspect.
Sheriff Sergeant Justin Maxfield talked about the accident or the incident.
They were transported with code yellow injuries, so moderate injuries, possible broken ankle, and some possible other injuries. The vehicle did run over their foot after they had lost contact with the vehicle.
It was strong wind, not a tornado, that caused damage in southern Sedgwick County early yesterday morning.
The National Weather Service says extremely strong winds ranging from 75 to 90 miles per hour charted a 10-mile path across southern Sedgwick County and the town of Derby around 5 Sunday morning. The agency says there was some damage to an outbuilding near Peck. The wind shoved the building into a nearby home, destroying the outbuilding and damaging the home. The town of Derby was hit the hardest, however, with some homes and businesses suffering minor roof damage. Throughout town, many trees and tree branches were down, all of them laying to the east-northeast, which is indicative of strong winds. Matthew Harding, KNSS News.
Police say one person is dead after a shooting in northeast Wichita.
It happened around 6:40 Saturday night near 17th Street and Poplar. Officers say a disturbance occurred between multiple individuals and a suspect fired multiple shots that struck two men. When officers arrived on the scene, they found a 35-year-old man dead. A short time later, a 25-year-old man arrived at a local hospital suffering from a gunshot wound. He was treated and released. The investigation continues, and police say this was not a random incident. Anyone with information on the case is encouraged to call WPD detectives at 268-4407 or Crime Stoppers at 267-2111. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A Wichita man has died after while trying to save a woman from drowning in a southwest Missouri river.
The incident happened just after 6:30 Friday evening on the Elk River near Knoll, Missouri, about 50 miles south of Joplin. A spokesperson with the Missouri Highway Patrol says a woman was swept underwater at a dam on the river. That's when 26-year-old Jacob Farley dived into the water to try and save her. When members of the Knoll Fire Department arrived on scene, they were able to bring the woman to safety using a throw rope, but were unable to save the man. Farley was pronounced dead at the scene. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating Friday's crash of a small plane used in a skydive operation that killed all 11 people on board. Plane went down near Dillingham Airfield on Oahu's North Shore in Hawaii. It crashed shortly after takeoff, bursting into flames. Yesterday, NTSB board member Jennifer Homendy said her agency is currently gathering information on the crash.
Throughout the next several days, we estimate 3 or 4 days, our investigators will be here to collect the perishable evidence so that we can gather facts for the investigations. We will not be determining the probable cause when we are here.
This crash is the deadliest accident involving a civil airplane in the U.S. since 2011.
KNSS News Time now, 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Hey, we have a winner at the Wichita Open Golf Tournament. Playoff holes this morning. We'll be joined by Mike Kennedy, play-by-play voice of the Wichita Open, and he'll join us about 8:15 this morning.
And a tightrope walk high above New York City. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. New statistics from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety are alarming with regard to how many people think they can get away with smoking marijuana as they drive. Sean Stewart is with AAA Kansas.
Nearly 70% of Americans think it's unlikely that a driver will get caught by police for driving while high on marijuana. And then another 15 million Americans reported driving within 1 hour after using marijuana in the past 30 days.
Stewart says law enforcement officers across the state are receiving training to prepare for expected increases in drivers under the influence of pot. He reminds motorists that marijuana is not legal in Kansas, and nowhere in the U.S. is it legal to drive under the influence of marijuana.
Another body has been found after a deadly shooting and fire in Southern California.
The number of people killed in the incident after an argument at a pitch and putt golf course on Friday is now 5, after the discovery of a third body in the rubble of a burned-out mobile home in Santa Maria. Police have identified the shooting victims as 70-year-old Kurt Brackey and 78-year-old Richard Hannon. Residents say there had been a long-running feud between the two men and the unidentified gunman. The shooter is believed to have escaped to his mobile home, which then went up in flames after a small explosion. Firefighters initially found two bodies in the rubble, one of which is believed to be the gunman. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Daredevil Nick Walenda and his sister, Leona, walked across a 1,300-foot tightrope 25 stories above the Times Square in New York. Nick says he was proud of his sister for completing the walk with him.
Just so proud of her. I mean, she overcame challenges that most people would give up at that point. We've lived by those words, never give up. She overcame a near-death experience. It's hard to get back on a horse. Try getting back on a wire that's a couple hundred feet above the ground. It's a total different ballgame, total different world. And again, through that, our hopes are that people are inspired to get back up.
Nick and Leona's family, the Flying Walendas, have been performing since the 1700s. Now we'll look at the forecast. Let's take a look at the traffic first. 8:10 now, Stephen Ted here on KNSS.
This morning we've got a stalled out vehicle causing a traffic hazard. This is westbound on Kellogg right around Meridian. Watch for a traffic hazard there. Stalled out vehicle. Traffic update from 98.7, 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. With a clearing sky, finally a chance for us to dry out today and tomorrow a bit. Sunny with a high 84 this afternoon. Mostly clear and 66 for the overnight low. And then for Tuesday, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a high 90. A chance of thunderstorms returns, though, tomorrow night. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now, partly cloudy, northwest wind at 9, just a few clouds. Northwest wind at 9 miles per hour, 63 degrees. Stephen, 10 in the morning now, 8:11 here on this Monday, June 24th of this week. We've got a huge field. I don't remember this many candidates for president on either party, but the Democrats have, more than 20 people running. And this week, we're going to try to do some debates. With us this morning, talk about it, Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We're going to have to cut this up in two different nights, right?
Well, yes, there'll be two nights' worth of debates, both Wednesday and Thursday here from Miami. And it's the first time we've seen all of these candidates, or we will see all of these candidates together.
Wow. So 10 and 10. If I look at this, and I think you'll appreciate what I'm going to say, Evan, I look at something like this, and I think, how would I cover that as a reporter? 10 people, how many sound bites can I get? How can I get this on the air
and make it happen.
Well, you sort of play it by ear. The, the thing is, it's NBC's debate, not ours. So we're not,
let them worry about it.
Let them do most of the work. But it's going to be interesting, if anything, because we have not seen all of these candidates together. And we're curious as to how they will behave with one another. Will they try to argue their own merits and policy points? Will they start nitpicking at one another? And what effect would all of that have? And that's, you know, like I said, we've not really seen them all together before. We've only begun to see some of them really kind of take pot shots at one another. We saw it last week and over the weekend between Cory Booker and Joe Biden. There's been a little bit between Beto O'Rourke and Julian Castro. But we'll see. We'll see if they continue that, if they amp that up, or if they try to stay away from that party infighting, which the Republicans were very famous for in 2016 and also in 2012.
My reading of history is the Republicans have always been real good at that, but the Democrats too. I mean, these are politicians. They're going to try to do whatever they can to put their story forward and try to get some recognition. Somebody might say something outlandish, even. What do you think?
Yeah, they might. They just might. We'll have to see. But the curious thing for me is if they'll start attacking one another.
Yeah.
That, you know, at some point, someone's going to want to, you know, emerge a bit more visible from this very big field of Democrats. There are, I think there's now 25 total.
Wow.
Who are declared candidates. And I think only 20 in these debates because you had to reach certain fundraising and opinion polling benchmarks. But it's a lot of people to have to compete against within your own party.
Well, is it too late for me to get in there? I'd like to get some national publicity.
It's never too late.
Evan, thanks for your help this morning. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown talking about Wednesday and Thursday night. I think they're having these debates on with the 10, 11, 12 people involved in each one. Yeah, like I said, think about that and trying to cover something like that. As a news reporter, I guess you just look for the one or two most outlandish sound bites you can find, and that's the way you cover something like that.
You can't that's exactly
say,
what you do.
Well, the senator said this, and so and so said this. Bang, bang, yeah, it's difficult. Those are the worst.
Looking for that Lloyd Benson moment, that quip that just cuts through everything, and everybody remembers 20 years later.
Yeah,
not sure anything will come out. You never know. Somebody might have a wisecrack that'll resound with people.
Well, I've already seen some of the Democrats biting each other this past few days.
Well, that's what candidates do.
Yeah. They're going to try to separate themselves from one from the other. All right, it's coming up on 8:15 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And, Ted, let's go ahead and talk about the fact you've got a golf tournament going on, and Wichita Open over the years has been a terrific success. What you see is a lot of young golfers who are going to wind up on the pro tour, and you see the young ones as they're coming up.
We see it every year, and these guys, some of them become great, some of them become major champions.
Yeah, and a dramatic ending this year.
Oh, boy, no kidding. We couldn't even confine it into 4 days or 72 holes this year. We had to go playoff holes, including some this morning. And Mike Kennedy, who provided some great coverage for us, a long day on Saturday and a long day yesterday, and Mike was up bright and early out at the golf course this morning for more playoff hole action. Good morning, Mike Kennedy.
Morning, guys.
Well, we were down to two golfers. We were down to Hendrick Norlander and Brian Bigley, who both were able to birdie the first playoff hole, and then it got too dark last night. Had to carry over to today, didn't we?
It did, and it's only the second time that that's happened here. Back in 1992, we had a similar situation where we were delayed two and a half hours by rain and getting started. That year, Jeff Woodland and Bob May actually played five holes in the playoff, and couldn't get it decided. Either could beat the other out, and so it finally got dark, and they had to come back the next morning, and then on the first hole the next day, Woodland won. So only the second time it's happened here, and I think the first time in a couple of years on this tour.
All right, so Norlander and Bigley both hit the par 4 18th this morning, and how did things go from there?
Well, both parred. Neither had a great look at birdie. They were both a similar distance away. Actually, Bigley was just off the green, had to chip his second shot, and Norlander putted his. So they went back to 17, where both made birdie yesterday in the playoff to separate themselves from the three other guys in the playoff. Norlander hit first, hit a really good shot, just about 12 feet short of the hole. Bigley was a lot farther away, close to 50 feet. left and short. Made a very good run at it, just ran it by the bottom edge of the cup about a foot and a half, and Norlander's birdie just creased the edge and sat right there, so he had a little tap in. So Bigley just had about a foot and a half left to match the par and keep the playoff going, and he lipped it around the left side. So he made bogey, and Norlander wins it with a par at the second extra hole today.
Oh, man. Well, a little drama this morning.
Wow.
Well, I guess it's fitting, as that was that's how it went all day yesterday. The last three groups that we were following had a tight battle going all day long. It really came down to the last two or three holes with as many as six guys still in contention.
And I know, Mike, yesterday was a long day, as we mentioned. It had to be trying mentally for some of these guys to try to make it through some of that yesterday.
Well, one of the hardest things, for those who listen, they're aware, but with all the heavy rain we had, the course right from the beginning of the day was deemed to be playable, but the issue was at the third hole. The tee box there is kind of an elevated tee behind a creek, and there's a bridge that goes across the creek to get to the tee box, and that creek was just running like rapids, and the bridge was covered by water. And so it really came down to whether the water would recede enough to make that tee box accessible as to whether the round could be played at all. And it wasn't until between 1 and 1:30 that it was determined that, yeah, the water had settled enough that there wasn't going to be a liability to get across the bridge. And that's when they decided they could play. So at that point, they were down to about as late a start as they could possibly make and hope to get it in before dark. And so it came that close to not even being played at all.
And, you know, weather aside, what are we going to take away from this year's Wichita Open, do you think? Any impressions of Henrik Norlander?
Well, he's a guy who has been back and forth a little bit. He's played this tour 5 of the last 7 years. He's been on the PGA Tour a couple of times. He's having arguably his best year ever. He was 24th on the points list on this tour coming into this weekend. This will jump him up quite a bit, and it's his second career victory on this tour. Still relatively young, early 30s guy from Sweden, so it's going to be a really nice career step for him. Brian Bigley is a guy who's had some moderate success on this tour before, was just having a brutal year. He had made 2 of 12 cuts prior to this weekend. His best finish had been 65th, and he had made $2,700. And I might explain that when you have a playoff, the winner gets the first prize money. Everybody else that makes the playoff, however many there are, tie for second. So in this case, with four other guys, you add up second, third, fourth, and fifth place money, divide that by four. So Bigley will take home about $38,000. And even though that's a $75,000 difference from what he would have taken as the winner, it's a huge increase to his season and probably will get him going in the right direction now. But it was again, this tour continues to produce great golf. I mean, you see a lot of outstanding players. It was very competitive. 22nd time in 30 years here that the championship has been won by one stroke or in a playoff.
And once again, just want to give you guys kudos. You got fantastic coverage on the weekend. You and Jay Delling really assemble a great team of folks that cover that, and it's great radio, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you. And I have to mention, I mentioned this on the air yesterday, but since it's your audience particularly, I do want to say that yesterday was really crazy in terms of there were like 5 changes in terms of when the start times would be and all that sort of thing. And I was in contact with Tony Dusing, your program director, who doesn't typically work on weekends, but was having to keep track of everything. And we kept, oh, now it's going to be this time. And he was great about being flexible and allowing us to keep moving it around until we finally settled on a time. So I appreciate that very much. It's been a great relationship with the radio stations to be able to do this over the years.
We appreciate it, Mike. Good stuff.
Now
go. Now what do you do?
Actually, I've got the Sports Commission banquet this week.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'm actually going to be doing the TBT on ESPN with Fran Fraschilla, the games that are going to be televised from here in Wichita at the end of July. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, that is sweet.
Great.
Nice. Well, you'll have a ton of fun doing that later in July. Yeah.
So So, yeah, this is sort of my time off, but I do a little bit of work this time of year.
Well, Mike, if you need any help on that color part of that, I am not available.
Okay, good to know.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Mike Kennedy. You heard him with great coverage all weekend of the Wichita Open on Saturday and Sunday, and recapping us on today's winner, Henrik Norlander. So thanks very much for that, Mike. Just briefly, the Royals beat the Twins 6-1 yesterday and split a four-game series with the Twins. Royals visit the Cleveland Indians starting tonight. You can hear that one at 6 o'clock over on Sports Radio KFH. And in women's soccer, World Cup round of 16 in France today. It's Team USA taking on Spain. That game will begin at 11 o'clock this morning. And the winner will advance into the quarterfinals at the Women's World Cup. That's sports with Stephen Ted.
Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute at 8:23. How the U.S. uses its power. That's on the way. Stephen Ted in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.